Welcome to Unceded Airwaves, the Indigenous Collective on 101.9 CITR at UBC. I'd like to acknowledge that we are on unceded Musqueam territory, and I raise my hands for hosting us and our university and place of learning. My name is Willow Thixon, and I am Anishinaabe, Cree, Métis, and some French, but we don't talk about it. I study kinesiology and health sciences. Well, I'm technically a graduate, so I'm just lingering.
Hello, everyone. My name is Mitchell Mammel. I am a European settler whose family settled in Chile. And the unceded territory of the Stolo people. Many thanks to them for hosting the place that I grew up and love very much. I am a sociology major doing my victory lap, my fifth year in sociology. Hoping to end up in med school, we shall see. Currently waiting for the interview, yes or no, but anyway, I'm at that stage. I'm very happy to be here.
Today we are going to be talking about exams and Christmas or holidays, just to be PC about this whole thing,
yes.
Because we know that there is some issues around Christmas and colonialism and the imposed holidays that are about to happen. So I think that this is a stressful time of year, no matter what you're celebrating or not celebrating. I know I'll be celebrating when my final exams are all done. Yay! Mm-hmm. But until then, we are suffering dearly.
Nose to the grindstone, most definitely. And we're going to be talking about health in its many forms, various aspects of it. We're also going to have a wonderful interview with Carrie Charnley, who does a lot of different work and has a very long and fancy title, but she's going to be talking to us about some of the things that she does to make these holiday times maybe less stressful, or just ways to focus on wellness and kind of get through the holiday times if they're being difficult for you. Obviously, neither of us are professionals, so we're not going to tell you exactly how to get better, because I'm a diabetic who like loves sugar and chocolate, and so obviously I don't really know what I'm talking about. I'm not an expert in that area, but we will just open up some options and some, like, just have a conversation about what wellness can be for you in...
Well, I wouldn't exactly call myself an expert by any far stretch of the imagination, but I am already a graduate, so I did study kinesiology and health sciences and did a minor in science, kind of doing biochemistry and or biochemical nutrition and physiology, so I kind of have a general idea of what's going on. Mm. I also am a pre-med student and start med school in September 2016, so I am not a doctor. Don't listen to me yet.
In a few years.
Give me 6 years,
yes.
Then maybe take some very lighthearted suggestions from
yes.
me. But I think health is a very dynamic system, and we can't look at it just from the science, and we can't look at it just from the emotions. They go both hand in hand. Like, our physiological systems and our psychosocial systems and our environment all contribute to how we experience health. Because we experience health, like Mitch was saying, it's like a wellness feeling. You'll feel whole, and there's a lot of things that make you feel whole. And I can talk a lot about the science and the dynamic internal physiological systems that are happening within your body, but a lot of that is also has contributing factors from your emotional stress and your emotional capacity in life.
Mm-hmm. Not to mention all the things that are going on around you that you have a certain amount of control over sometimes, but also sometimes they come out of the blue. Like your exam schedule, for example. Hopefully all of your exam schedules are treating you well, but perhaps maybe they're just not. You'll be, some of you unlucky few will have like three exams exactly on the 24-hour mark, and so you can't get the middle one moved.
I had that 1 year. I actually had that.
Yeah.
I tried to apply for exam hardship,
yeah.
But I don't even know how I survived. I wrote 2 1 day and then 1 the next morning.
Yeah.
And the second one was literally in the evening. So all I had time to do was go home and sleep and stress out.
Yeah.
So.
Which is very pertinent to our conversation we're having.
Yeah.
So yeah, a lot of these things come out from out of the blue and can make it difficult for you to have that health or have that wellness. This can be year-round, but especially during this time when there's just so much different things going on that we have to focus on, because a lot of the times for people, this could be a time for family, and family can be wonderful. They can also be a stressor in and of themselves, perhaps. And for some people, it can be difficult because maybe you won't have as much connection with your family at this time of year, and it could be difficult because other people are and maybe you're not. And so there can be, you know, a variety of things that come up for you. And so there can be a lot of things that we deal with right now. And so it's a lot to have on your plate. But don't worry, we're going to be talking about, like, happy things as well. So it's not going to be a full downer of an hour for you. Don't worry about that.
Just kidding. It's going to be a total downer of an hour.
Of an entire
Stay
hour.
Stay tuned.
And you're
Stay
not allowed.
Tuned.
Don't touch the switch. Stay. You have to stay. Stay.
Don't talk to them like they're dogs. We're talking about stress. So, of the many commands
exactly.
you're getting right now from your professors and teachers and everybody around you, your peers, because you're going to be doing group projects, because we love group projects. Everybody loves them. We all love them. I'm trying to get comfortable, and it's not.
Nice. Oh, I don't think it's also. Five?
Five. Bang.
Nice. Okay. I'm back. Good times.
We're also going to be switching it up a little bit and playing some music to lighten the mood, because I'm talking a little bit science-y, and I know we're studying a lot right now, and new knowledge is a bit, you don't want it. I barely even leisure read when I'm studying, because I just can't even fathom. I'm like, put on the most mindless television show I can possibly put on, which brings me to my interesting study, but we'll talk about that later. We have some interesting science studies that will help you, hopefully, or at least amuse you later on in the show.
Exactly.
All right, we're going to play a little track to lighten the mood called No Money, No Problems by Mob Bounce. Mob Bounce is a hip-hop duo that their very first recording, I think, was Mixed Blood Mixtape. Travis and Craig, they're from up north. Craig is Gitsan and Travis is Cream AT. They're from Smithers. So have a listen.
Bring that culture back to me. 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 I feel sorry for the brothers who don't understand me. Brooklyn, Gibson, Redman, Steve, CCA. Why can't bring the culture back to me? No money, no problems. That's OG. I feel sorry for the brothers who don't understand me. Brooklyn, Gibson, Redman, Steve, CCA. Why can't bring the culture back to me? No money, no problems. That's OG. I'm poised. Why the honest voice? Boy, I kid y'all, coming back to bring the noise. Trap claps hitting, that's that rhythm. MOB, B's in the building, chilling. Mr. Heaves, get him. I said, Mr. Heaves, get him.
Back then,
they docking no ships. Now they docking some shit. We should be talking legit. So we calling our talk 10 sticks. Blockades on your block. Go talk to the cops. They talking the fire stick. Shoot a carver and walk away with a slap on the wrist. We back to resist. Bone arrows gonna aim. American Indian movement moving in. My bounce the crew's name. Dance around the new flame. The smoke carries the true pain. Ego take our brands. We rising above the mundane. It's like delicate flowers, but you cannot steal his nectar. We shared it since the settlers, since feathers rested on headdresses. Addresses dancing where creator left us. There's a struggle, but the great spirit blessed us. So ignite us, we might just fight, cause we are light first. The type to revolt with lightning goes fast on the page. When we wrote thunder being sound, oral traditions from the throat. Communicating hope, so the world can hear this quote. Yo,
I feel sorry for the brothers who don't understand me. Brooklyn, Gibson, Redman, Steve, CCA. Why can't bring the culture back to me? No money, no problems.
That's OG.
Hey,
bring
the culture back to me.
Hey,
I bring the culture back to me. I bring the culture back to me.
man, get sane. Red man, steal. CCA, why can't women go to back to me? No money, no problems.
All right, welcome back to CITR 101.9 Unceded Airwaves. You're here with Mitchell and myself. My name is Willow, and I'd like to acknowledge the unceded Musqueam territory we are presently recording from. To get back to our conversations about stress and the upcoming season, I'm going to do a little bit of science talk about cortisol, because it is the stress hormone in our body that is what gets released from our sympathetic nervous system when we are under stress. Typically, that's supposed to happen in short duration. So our bodies emit a little bit of cortisol when we're feeling stressed to help us decrease the functions our body does not need, such as reproduction and immune response and bone. Reabsorption and all of these things that help us maintain our homeostasis. We don't actually need these things. We don't need to be like, okay, we need to be fighting bacteria and pathogens. These are not our primary goals. Our primary goals are increase heart rate, run really fast, get the heck out of there.
Yeah.
Like, we don't need these. So when we're putting our bodies under this increased stress during times of exams, that constant increase of cortisol is starting to take its toll. You're going to feel hungry even though you just ate, because your body is continuously thinking it needs all of the sugar to fight, to run away. It's like, oh my goodness, I have to combat this stress. That means I need all the energy ever, because there's a lion behind me and this lion is exams and it's constantly chasing me even though I'm actually not using any of that. So another thing our body does is it retains all of our sodium. Then you end up bloated. It just compacts. Sadly, one of the social determinants of health, being indigenous is one of them. Being a woman is another one. Being, you know, differently abled is another one. And these increase your cortisol as well, which is why social determinants of health are actually pretty critical. We're talking about stress and cortisol, and I'm just tying in indigeneity and cortisol because a certain level of chronic stress for our entire lives, which actually contributes to us dying sooner. Not to be a Debbie Downer, but the reality is that we are constantly facing the racism and the systemic oppression, and people are following us around, assuming that we are stealing and thieves and criminals and drunks and yada, yada, yada. That takes its toll on your cortisol everywhere, because you are walking around like that lion that's behind you, which are right currently your exams. But that lion is a baby lion. Not as big, but constantly there. So these cortisol effects that I'm talking about on your bones not being able to build up properly, your blood pressure going up, your body not being able to maintain its insulin balance. Mitch is here to talk a little bit about what things that we can do and what things define wellness, things that we can do to decrease our cortisol levels or the stress in our lives as we enter this exam season.
Yeah, so when you're coming into this season, I mean, we've talked about it before. We all know that you've just got a million things on your plate. And so, you know, during this time, you at some point, you're starting to think about what is your personal wellness? And I'm using the term personal wellness because it's really different for everyone, right? And what really works best for you. Because, I mean, for me, going for a run is something that I need to do once a week, just to be able to kind of like keep everything in balance for me. Some other people might think that like going for a run will be like very bad for their stress and very bad for their wellness. And so it's really what works for you. And so are you thinking like maybe I'll have like one cup of coffee less on this given day, which would definitely be a challenge for me? And or what is it exactly that I'm going to work on? Or what is it that helps me de-stress? Do I like listening to music? What things work for you? And, you know, during this time, obviously, we're crunched for time. You know, there's going to be days where you're spending like all day in the library. It's a fact of life, sadly. But, you know, if you're able to take the small times in between, you know, can you listen to your music? Can you do whatever? I mean, like, is it a breathing exercise? I mean,
take a bath.
Take a bath. If you get to that point where you just like have absolutely no clue how you're going to deal with that stress, that's when it's a good time to be able to reach out, talk to your friends, talk to whoever it is that you think can listen to you. And sometimes being able to just say the words is enough. You don't have to like come up with a solution that day, but sometimes it's nice to just speak to a friend and be like, oh my God, I have 3 finals in the next 4 days. And then once you say that, you're like, okay, that's better. Just catch your breath and let's go again.
We're going to go to another little song before we get to our interview. So I think that I would like to balance out the genders here and play a little Ali Fontaine, a fellow Anishinaabekwe singer-songwriter. She's from Saguenay First Nation in Manitoba. She is killing the music scene, has won some CBC awards, has won some Aboriginal Music Awards. A little country for my liking, typically, but she's got a sweet and soulful voice. So
don't hate on country too much.
We're going to play a little Ali Fontaine for you here. She is lovely, and check her out.
Welcome back, everyone, to Unceded Airwaves on CITR 101.9 FM. We would like to acknowledge that this show and the university that it resides on is on unceded Musqueam territory, so we would very much like to thank the nation for hosting this place of learning as well as our radio show. My name is Mitchell Mammel, and I have my co-host here, Willow Fixon.
Hey, welcome back.
And we are back again, and what we're going to be doing is speaking. We're going to have an interview here with Miss Carrie Charnley. Carrie Charnley, working towards being Dr. Charnley. Yeah. And we're going to be talking with her about what she does in her life and how she manages stress during the holiday times.
So we're here on Unceded Airwaves with Carrie Charnley, who is a sessional lecturer teaching courses in interprofessional health and human services on the historical and contemporary issues of First Nations health in Canada and cultural competency in approaching traditional healing modalities in Aboriginal health. We figured this was an apt choice for an interview coming up to the holiday season as we approach. It's kind of a stressful time for everybody, exams, holidays, so we're going to get a little bit of insight from Carrie. Say hi to everybody.
Hi, everyone. Nice to be here. Thanks a lot for inviting me.
Thank you for being here as well.
Yeah. Our first question is, when you think about stress, Aboriginal health, and the holidays, what can make this time of year more difficult for Indigenous families?
In terms of being more difficult, well, you know, like any families, mainly issues around you know, things like trying to live up to certain expectations, family get-togethers. A lot of times it has to do with poverty because a lot of our people live in poverty. So it's like, you know, getting presents together, that kind of thing. But there's a lot of fun and joy and being with each other, too, that people are anticipating. So it's kind of like the double-edged thing where there's really great things about this time of year, but then there's also really hard things and a lot of pressures that come to bear. And also in terms of with the recognition.
El show de Leo Ramírez, lunes 4 a 5 de la tarde en el 101.9 FM, CITR.
We try to take joy in anyway, but there's always that shadow that this isn't really our original culture. There's all kinds of pressures, of course.
Do you think the stress of trying to live up to a colonial standard gets reflected in the amount of addictions or substance abuse over the holidays?
Definitely. I think because people get overwhelmed, and the people don't have the resources financially or in terms of social, some social capital, that people just get overwhelmed and then they give in to these escape mechanisms that why not feel good to overcome the intense negativity and just have a little vacation from that. And frankly, I can totally see the logic there, but we're all trying to find other ways of strengthening ourselves through education and unity and things and bringing in our culture.
Do you think residential school and the effects of residential school has created a positive effect around Christmas because of the Christianity, or a negative effect because it's torn communities and separated families?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, residential school, definitely bad across the board.
Fair to say.
Yeah, definitely residential school has had an impact, that's for sure. And because people were taught to not basically have the skills and strengths and love and that they were born with, and to not to know our culture, and to disconnect us from our families, either our children, grandchildren, our parents, and so on. So it's really just been this most recent generation that has started to start the healing process around residential school. So it's really only been, I'd say, the last 10 years that we've been starting to heal from that, and I think we have a long way to go, but all hands are on deck, and everybody in the communities and everywhere are trying to do that now. So I have a lot of hope for the future around that.
I think we have to at this point.
Yeah.
because of residential school and the holidays and, you know, substance abuse and all the addictions that have come because of genocide, all we really have is hope. And I think sometimes Christmas is a season, I mean, the holidays are supposed to be a season of hope. I'm trying to keep it PC, so.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be hope, right?
Yeah. And we're marketed, this is what I wanted to talk about too, is about the whole marketing ploy that's going on around us. You know, we're immersed in this marketing frenzy, starting from, you know, just around Halloween time all the way till Christmas and then post-Christmas for a few weeks. So it's like, it's all about consuming. You know, at one time we had to battle the elements of the environment. Now we have indoor plumbing and warm clothes and cars. but now we're having to deal with battling the elements of consumer capitalism. So we're marketed to death. We have to put all hands on deck and band together to resist all of those elements of marketing that in the stores, on the streets, on TV, through social media and so on. We're told to overmax ourselves, to overtax ourselves in terms of our emotions with family, friends, and to buy things in order to be more emotionally in touch. Supposedly, spiritually and religiously, we're marketed to engage in those activities and acknowledge them, the Christian ones anyway, and then physically with overeating, all kinds of yummy foods, and then, of course, in the new year, we're told that we need to start working out, paying gym fees and so on to deal with all of that overconsuming
food. Which really doesn't make any sense, and I was just wondering if, you know, colonial holidays, I mean, mainly Christmas, because that's, you know, the predominant Christmas in Christianity, which is the predominant religion and practices in Canada at the moment. If that wasn't what was practiced kind of all over, what other things would be happening with Indigenous communities right now, maybe Catesy Nation, which you're a part of? Would there be any kind of ceremonies or any other things going on right now if Christmas wasn't kind of the overbearing thing happening?
Definitely. And there still is all of the traditional things that are happening right now. And just want to finish on the capitalist consumer thing.
No, please do. Please do. Finish it off.
Because I do think it's important to recognize that that we're bombarded with all of that, and to keep that in mind, and also to not put big expectations on ourselves to consume so much by buying lots of presents and so on. So, anyways, in terms of Coast Salish, for instance, and West Coast First Nations, talk about Catesy in particular, but in terms of Coast Salish and West Coast practices and ways of living in around this time of year has always been with winter dances. So this is the time of year where we open up the longhouse and we have our mass dancing and we're in profound connection with our ancestors and our spirituality connected with the land. And this is the time where we exchange gifts, and this is a time where the community is very tight together. There's a lot of events around food, banquets, and storytelling, whether publicly or else, you know, around at home with grandparents and so on, telling family stories or other kinds of stories. And so this is a time of looking inward also. So because it's dark out, it's the shortest days of the year, the longest nights. So it's a great time to look inward and think about what you've learned in the year, things like that, and where you want to go in life. And that's all part of, I believe, winter dancing and connecting with the higher, with other spirits and ancestors. And also, I guess if we're looking at decolonizing this time of year, the number one thing would be the land. So how can we connect with the land at this time of year? I think even if we don't necessarily participate in a millennial long tradition, we can connect with those traditions in ways by just contemporizing them, by just being out in the land in whatever way that makes sense to you, whether it's just walks in the forest or skiing even, because I believe that skiing was an indigenous invention, and just looking at those kinds of, you know, looking at what we do in the wintertime and connecting that to indigenous history and inventions, and also looking at what our northern neighbors and other countries are doing, like in Russia and Finland, the Sami people in Finland and Norway and so on, what they're doing and their kind of traditions they have too, as well as our own people in the north as well, who may have held on to their more traditions more.
And those were just a lot of things that are and wonderful things for, you know, all our listeners to think about, are just different ways of, if, like you said, that kind of capitalist culture that comes out during the holidays. I think those are some great suggestions for being able to kind of, if you don't want to be a part of that, being able to look at different options. And I'm wondering if there's any kind of fluidity, or if there's any crossovers or similarities that you you're seeing between traditional gifts and banquets and the holiday times, Christmas and Hanukkah and the other celebrations that happen, because you were saying that there's kind of that double-edged sword of knowing that the holidays are definitely a colonial time based in a religion that was very damaging for indigenous peoples, but at the same time it's still a time that families are able to come together. So I'm wondering if there's any crossover or fluidity between that.
Yeah, I think there is, in terms of people gathering together and sharing and eating together, that kind of thing, definitely.
Small victories day by day.
Exactly.
We'll get through this holiday.
We will get there, yes.
Yeah.
So what do you think are the best ways to maintain that emotional presence and emotional health as you approach this overly stressful season for many people?
A big one is making time and being able to say no to certain activities, certain, what do you call them? Commitments and invitations maybe that you'd like to go to, but maybe you just need some time to pace yourself so that you're not too worn out by the time the big event happens, the Christmas 3 days and stuff, which seems to be the focus of, you know, we're gearing up to those 3 days kind of thing. Just remember it's the whole month we have here, and those are just 3 days. And, yeah, just pace ourselves. And I guess, you know, I look, maybe this is a good time to use social media to your advantage around this kind of stuff, like subscribe to some, you know, pages like Byron Katie, Louise Hay, that kind of thing, you know, with all these philosophies about being present and getting real about things and what's most important in life. Just be, have those coming through your feed to remind you of those things, that can be helpful too. And also, if it really gets rough, to know that there's a crisis line and not to be shy to use it. Adbusters, the magazine Adbusters that's published in Vancouver and they're online, they have a whole bunch of resources on their website about how to have a non-commercial Christmas. And they even have, like, Christmas songs that have been reworded to have non-commercial sayings in them and stuff.
So, oh, that's, yeah. I like that.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I
really recommend Adbusters. Yeah.
I like the non-commercial Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was thinking about ways to indigenize Christmas, and I was just imagining, for some reason, like, if you were going to do the gifting thing and it was, like, all made gifts, just, like, potlatching them around, dancing.
Yeah.
I don't know why that was, like, the vision that came to my head. It was, like, dance around your community giving out gifts. I don't – like, I'm not from potlatch people, so maybe I'm speaking a little bit out of pocket. But from my understanding, it is, like, you dance gifts away to everybody who's witnessing the ceremony, and the ceremony being maybe not necessarily, you know, Christianity and Christmas, but the ceremony being everybody getting together in the community. You know,
And exactly,
maybe
yeah.
that's a ceremony in and of itself, because not all the time everybody's home, not all the time family gets together like this.
Yeah.
Are there other things that you can do in your home aside from going outside that you think would help you kind of combat the negative effects of the holiday season, Christmas, consumerism, colonialism, all of that?
Definitely, like smudging is really good. Burning a nice candle, a white candle, I find to be really calming. There's those lamps, those salt lamps that are supposed to be really good to take out the ions out of the air and make the air more positively charged.
Sort of beeswax candles.
Nice.
Yeah, and music and singing, playing guitar, whatever works for you.
Mm-hmm.
Artwork, I do a lot of art. This is the time of year I do artwork. Mm. Sometimes I've had art parties, like for New Year's Eve, I'll have an art party where we'll paint or we'll share. We'll do a group painting, that kind of thing.
Oh, that's so much fun.
That's yeah.
Cool. I like art as the outlet for negative emotions.
Mm.
It's usually art or
and
athletics.
Even positive emotions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, positive ones, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, I'm trying
the
to...
transformative thing. I guess in terms of, I'm thinking about coping with alcoholism and other kinds of isms and and just emotions, negative emotions around this time of year, triggers and things and how to cope. I just think, you know, self-love is really where it's at, and I think it's a skill that's developed over time, and it's just something people need to remember, is just to be really, really, like, I often say ruthlessly self-caring, because it seems like in the society too, even though there's a lot of self-absorption with capitalism and stuff, and buying things, overspending and stuff, there's also a lot of that that's used to make people feel, that's also a coping mechanism too, it becomes a coping mechanism. So instead of buying things, just
treat yourself in other ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, have lovely, good thoughts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't get sucked into the guilt or anything like that. Just really, really be really good to yourself, the way you think. Remember your thoughts. Keep an eye out for your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And try to be on top of that.
All right, we're going to have to wrap it up right now. Is there anything that you would like to add for people to think about as they enter exams and the holiday season?
One day at a time, and don't put too many expectations on yourself, and to know that it will soon be over, and just self-care and one day at a time, and not to get overwhelmed, and breathe and go outside.
That's
it. Other than everything else I've already said, yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you for being on Unseated Airwaves with us.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for all of your points and your tips.
You're very welcome. Mm-hmm. Hope it helped some way.
Hi, I'm Miigwech.
Okay.
I will be talking to you shortly.
Okay.
See ya.
Bye. You are tuned in to Unceded Airwaves on CITR 101.9 with Mitch Mammel and myself. I'd like to acknowledge that we are on the unceded territory of the Musqueam peoples, and I raise my hands to that. Thank you for hosting us. Mm-hmm.
Many thanks for hosting this radio show on our place of learning here at UBC. And now we get to move on to some of the fun and interesting stuff. More fun and interesting stuff, I should say. It should hopefully all be fun and interesting. We are going to do some health news for some random articles that popped up. I found one that I thought was actually really fun and interesting. So apparently there is a researcher out of Texas who's been researching a new type of condom that is made from a new material. And this is what's called a hydrogel condom. So you're not, it's not like a gel that you put on yourself and it like turns into a condom. It's like the same kind of material that is used to make contact lenses. But what's really special about this condom is apparently they've got this antioxidant that they're wanting to like, I don't know, somehow weave into this condom so that if the condom were to break during sex, this antioxidant gets released, which apparently slows down the replication of HIV. And the idea behind that is to reduce the chances of HIV transmission if the condom were to break, which is a very good thing. It's in the works right now, and they're working on bringing that to manufacturing, I'm guessing, in the next, like, year or two.
It's pretty cool, an antioxidant.
Apparently, it's also supposed to heighten sexual pleasure. I don't think the antioxidant release is supposed to heighten pleasure and prevent HIV, because I think if your condom breaks, you don't want the pleasure to be going up. I think standard operating procedure is to stop what you're doing, reapply, and then continue. So I think the heightened sexual pleasure is supposed to be when the condom is not broken. But anyway.
See, and my question about this whole heightened sexual pleasure thing is, you wouldn't want a heightened sexual experience if you're already suffering from premature ejaculation to begin with. But maybe you're not, and maybe the heightened sexual pleasure from the condom reduces the effects of the condom, because I know there's the big complaint that's like, oh, okay, condoms actually decrease the amount of pleasure, so I'm not having as much fun, so to speak, unless I'm not wearing a condom, which is the, like, age-old excuse for...
Terrible excuse.
It's a terrible excuse, but it's the age-old excuse for not wearing a condom. But maybe the heightened sexual pleasure that you'll get from the antioxidants tingling your genitalia could be worth it. It's always worth
it. Who knows?
Wrap it before you tap it,
please do so. But anyway, that's coming up in the next, you know, couple of years, hopefully. So, you know, your condoms may be changing. Who knows? So things to look out for. Always things to look out for.
Well, we're on the topic of sex and orgasms and not getting pregnant and cortisol and stress. And apparently, according to iExpletive Love Science, a team of psychologists from Oakland have tried to uncover the reasons behind women faking orgasms. Mm. Why? They even made a kind of inventory that they called the RPOI, the Reasons for Pretending Orgasm Inventory.
Nice.
And it kind of was divided into three subcategories, which is to improve their partner's sexual experience, for deception and manipulation, or hiding sexual disinterest. None of which, aside from maybe the first one, sound actually pretty good.
Mm.
So the data was built on pre-existing theories that suggest that women may pretend to climax as mate retention strategy. So that's assuming that if you kind of have more orgasms or orgasm more frequently, you are a better partner for that person, which is a lie. And
it could also be an ego thing.
Yeah.
You know, make the other person feel better about it.
So researchers generated a list of the 303 reasons why a woman may fake an orgasm. And before whittling this down to the 95 based on literature searches, 286 women were recruited to kind of rate why they faked an orgasm. and primary reason for people faking orgasms, or women particularly, which is what they were studying, is for improving sexual experience so that they want to have a desire to maintain the relationship that they're currently in, or they like want to appear sexier for their partner because they love their partner, which is all fine and dandy and well, but if you want your sex to get better, it's called honesty and communication. Apparently, from this study, I guess you could infer that people fake orgasms to try and maintain the relationship they're currently in, even though they're not sexually satisfied. Why do we have so much shame in not being sexually satisfied?
Mm-hmm. True.
You know, like, why is there so much stigma being like, okay, well, maybe a little, like, harder or faster or softer or, you know, gentler, or maybe, you know, X, Y, Z. Like, everybody likes it differently. Why is there... We need to omit the shame when talking about sex. So during the holidays, there are several... But I'm also biased. It's a movie about rock climbing, and it's pretty intense at the Rio Theater on December 12th. I think the biggest event that I want to push at this particular moment is the North American Indigenous Winter Celebration. Mm. So it's a celebration of culture of a lot of British Columbia Indigenous people, or the Indigenous people across this part of Turtle Island. I have friends coming down that are Tlingit, like from Northwest Coast. There's going to be Haida dancers and Nishka dancers and Gitxsan dancers and Salish dancers, and it's going to be a big celebration of Indigenous culture. So it'll be a good time. So that's on December 19th. It's starting at 11. It's at the Croatian Cultural Center. So if you want to check out all of the performers that are going on there, go to www.naiwc.ca, standing for North American Indigenous Winter Celebrations.ca. That is all. Yeah. I would love to wish you guys a great holiday season.
I would like to say the same. Thank you for listening. Enjoy the rest of your time and the rest of this semester and the next month. Be well. Stay classy.
Stay classy, Vancouver. Stay classy. Also, check out Willow's Christmas special on
December 21st.
Mm-hmm. Have a good day, guys.
Thank you for listening.
Shindig, CITR's annual band competition, is in its 30th year of promoting new, local bands and providing great prizes. Shindig happens every Tuesday at Pat's Pub and Brewhouse at 403 East Hastings Street. So come check out the talent while they compete to win studio time, features in Discorder magazine, buttons, merch, and more. Enjoy locally made beer, pool, and CITR DJs spinning after the bands. It was Shindig Night 8 is happening this Tuesday, December 8th, featuring Francesca Belcourt, Branza, and At Sea. Cover is $6 at the door, and the show is 19+. Check out CITR on Facebook or on Twitter at CITR Shindig for all the details. Hold my breath and fly away to what a lullaby.
For a taste of the classics with a twist, join me, Marguerite, with Classical Chaos, Sunday mornings starting at 9, right here on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver, Canada.
LA-based rock trio LA Witch returns to Vancouver to play Thursday, December 10th at the Cobalt with special guests Feels and Eric Campbell in the Dirt. Doors open at 8, the show starts at 9:30, and the show is 19+. Find your information and tickets on sale now at timberconcerts.com or in real life at Red Cat and Zulu Records.
Shindig, CITR's annual band competition, is in its 30th year of promoting new, local bands and providing great prizes. Shindig happens every Tuesday at Pat's Pub and Brewhouse at 403 East Hastings Street. So come check out the talent while they compete to win studio time, features in Discord or magazine, buttons, merch, and more. Enjoy locally made beer, pool, and CITR DJs spinning after the bands.
It was
Shindig Night 8 is happening this Tuesday, December 8th, featuring Francesca Belcourt, Branza, and Atsy. Cover is $6 at the door and the show is 19+. Check out CITR on Facebook or on Twitter at CITR Shindig for all the details.
Hold my breath and fly away to what a
Discorder Magazine has been supporting local music for over 30 years. Thanks to the long-term support of the Rickshaw Theater, Discorder lives. Your favorite bands are playing at the Rickshaw Theater. Check out their calendar just behind the cover of Discorder Magazine or at rickshawtheater.com.
Become a part of a movement to think beyond conventional boundaries. The third annual AUS Humanities and Social Sciences Conference, happening on January 16th, invites all undergraduate students to submit their research related to this year's theme of innovation. At this year's conference, you will be inspired by your fellow students' presentations and ideas. Applications are being accepted until December 16th. For more information, please visit the events on the AUS Facebook page.
Indie rock bands Taco Cat and Sally Ford are co-headlining on Saturday, December 12th at the Cobalt. Doors open at 7 with the show starting at 8:30. This event is 19+. And you can get your tickets today online at timberconcerts.com or at Red Cat and Zulu Records.
Hey, why so sad?
Oh, nothing really.
Not very convincing, Jane girl. Whatever it is, I've got just the cure for it.
1, 2, 3!
Did you know CITR has a women's collective? This brand new collective is all about providing and fostering a community for women who are or who want to be in radio, fighting the gender disparity in media, and centering women's voices and issues. If you are a female-identified person or ally who's already involved in radio or wants somewhere to start, this collective is for you. Email womenscollective@citr.ca for more information and to get involved.
And tune in Friday at 6 p.m. for the collective show, Lady Radio, featuring music, interviews, events, news, commentary. Basically anything we care to talk about.
See you then.
Well, how do you like it?
There's only one word for it. Terrific.
When I
Mental illness or addiction touched your life? You might be interested in coming out to the Kaleidoscope, UBC's first and only student-created, peer-run mental health support group at the university's Vancouver campus. They offer a stigma-free place for people to share their stories with others going through similar experiences. The Kaleidoscope meets every week on Tuesdays from 5 to 6 p.m. at the Center for Student Involvement in Brock Hall.
Learn more at the-kaleidoscope.com.